Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
I sometimes can't understand how the rest of the world is so stupid. I don't understand. It's such an easy thing. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance.
Billy, you're so stupid.
Max, sometimes I think you just say stuff to say stuff, man.
There are 30 teams in the NBA. 20 of them are playing after the regular season. Even when Steph was unanimous, more than half, 16 out of 30, were playing after the regular season. No MVP would ever come from a non-playoff team. It never did. So the idea that those first 82 games, which are so much less important than what comes after them, should be the only ones looked at for MVP, and then you ignore what comes after? Who cares who the best in the first? I want to know when it's all done who's the best. It's easy. Oh, unanimously, everyone knew before it really mattered that dude was the best. When it really mattered, who was the best? Oh, LeBron. So come on. If you could redo the vote after the finals, you think it would be Steph unanimous?
Huh? Did Steph not get injured in that finals?
I mean, he did.
Okay.
That's part of it.
I'm just asking. Sometimes context, sometimes things matter.
Like, sure. Would he have been unanimous MVP if you'd
have
voted
I'm in agreement with you that I value the postseason more than I value the regular season, but I still put major value on being the only player in the history of the league to achieve something. Okay. Now, I know LeBron missed it 1 year. I mean, got it to Melo, but I mean, it makes it even more difficult. Makes it even more difficult.
I think you're right. You had to have done something to make everyone go, it's him. It means something. It's just not the most important thing to me. You know, it's not like, oh, my God, he got unanimous regular season MVP. I want to know, did he win the finals that year? When push came to shove, who was the best player in the series that mattered the most?
Push came to shove.
LeBron James.
Get hurt.
Yeah, but LeBron was
But also
dude.
LeBron James, a player that we hurt. Argue, that people argue could be the greatest player of all time compared to Michael Jordan.
Okay.
To ever do it.
And he played in the regular season too, right?
Did regular season MVPs matter with Michael Jordan to you?
Not really to me. He got 5. He should have had 10. But they don't matter to me that much, no. Because he was 6-for-6 in the finals. That's why this team was 6-0 in the finals.
6-0 in the finals, yeah.
I mean, you know, that's like, what are we talking about here? NBA MVP straw poll, by the way, 3.0. Why has the margin between Joel Embiid and Nikola Jokic become so razor thin? Is it a result of this show? ESPN asked 100 media members to participate in an informal poll that mimics the NBA's postseason award voting process. To make the balloting as realistic as possible, there were at least 2 votes from each of the league's 28 markets, along with a cross-section of national and international reporters. 76ers star center Joel Embiid, after getting a lot of publicity on this show for having a better season than Jokic, has overtaken Denver Nuggets center and 2-time reigning MVP Nikola Jokic. Not only did Embiid edge Jokic in total points 790 to 788, but Jokic actually had more first-place votes than Embiid. The difference is Embiid finished in second place on 45 ballots. That's 6 more than Jokic, to give the Sixers' big man a slight lead over his rival. Guys, I really think that...
Does anybody factor in that Giannis had a 38-point triple-double last night?
I think maybe that's why Jokic didn't get as many second-place votes, right? Because Giannis came in second in some of them. But I really think that Bontemps' straw poll affected this thing, because people were outraged, not just that Jokic was winning, if it would have been by a little bit, maybe, but he was running away with it, and people said, hold on, time out. He's running away with his third straight. He might not even be a top 5 player in the league.
But it was combined with the fact that they had lost like 5 out of 7 games.
Yeah, and
but you know, they lost 5 out of 7 games. But by the way, Jokic's numbers were the same in those 5 or 7 games that they lost.
But then,
so that you have people in Denver be like, wait a second, he had a chokehold on the MVP, and now they lose 5 or 7 games, but his numbers are the same, and now all of a sudden he's slightly losing?
Key, while all this was
going
on,
should he be the MVP?
Joel Embiid? I mean, you're saying right here, career head-to-head. I mean, Embiid has done it. Should who be MVP?
The Joker. Jokic, should he be MVP?
I mean, I would lean towards Joel Embiid right now.
You would lean towards
Embiid and not Giannis at all?
No, I didn't say Giannis. So I just say I think Joel Embiid. I think there is a sentiment around the league in which wants to give it to Joel Embiid because he has not won it yet in what's occurred over the last several years. Right? Like, last year, Jokic coming in 6th in the Western Conference. Right? Like, even though Joel led the league in scoring, Joker came in sixth, he won it. So I think there are a group of people that want to give it to Joel Embiid. That's why I think
Who's the better player of the two?
I think Giannis is the best player in the game right now.
No, I mean of those two, not Giannis.
What style do you prefer, man? I mean, the usage rate, they're used differently. The usage rate for Joker is different than the usage rate for Joel Embiid, if we're getting into the weeds on it. Because Joker has the ball in his hands. The offense runs through Nikola Jokic. The offense doesn't necessarily run through Joel Embiid. You catching my drift, Key?
100% here.
Jay, you originally were saying when the first – so let's do this point by point. First, Bontemps comes out with a straw poll. Jokic is running away with it. Big reaction to that. People, especially on this show and others, what about Joel Embiid, right? Now Embiid goes off, has an incredible streak in a year where he may have been MVP anyway, and gets Jokic head-to-head. The Sixers win, and Embiid gets the better of him on both ends of the floor, right? The entire time, Jay Will was on this show saying, actually, if it were me, I think Giannis would be my vote for MVP. Giannis Antetokounmpo, in this latest straw polling, which Embiid edged out Jokic now, grabbed 18 first-place votes, and he is within striking distance as the best player on a team with the most wins, 55, in the league. So what's interesting to me now about Giannis, guys, is he's considered the best player in the game, right? He's the number one guy.
Highest usage rate in the NBA.
He is a champion. Neither of the other guys are. His team is the best, but in addition to all that, backlash against Jokic, but there's been a recent backlash against Embiid because everyone was looking to see this Jokic-Embiid rematch in Denver, and Embiid didn't play. So now people are there's a little bit anti-Jokic sentiment based on the straw poll, a little anti-Embiid sentiment based on not playing in the rematch, but there's no anti-Giannis sentiment, right?
No.
He might be the best bet to win this thing.
And here's a caveat for you, too, on the Giannis argument for MVP. So James Harden has been hurt this season, but he's played 54 games. All right? Chris Middleton has been hurt this season. So since January 23rd, the Milwaukee Bucks are 25-4. They have the best record in the Eastern Conference. And you're sitting there saying Chris Middleton has played 30 games this year. 30 games. 50, 40, 90, Chris Middleton has played 30 games. It can make you lean in Giannis's favor.
If you had a vote right now, it goes to Embiid?
Yes.
Key, who does your vote go to?
Embiid or Giannis. It probably, depending on what we got, 6 games left. Mm-hmm. So I probably would hold it up to the last 6, it up and see who bows out first. And then I would go with that individual player. But Jokic is eliminated for me. It's not my guy. I don't really see it like that.
You don't like his style like that, Key.
Ends of the floor either.
I think there's also
Giannis also has the Milwaukee Bucks have the best record in the entire league.
Best record in the league, but I also both ends of the floor is important to me.
100%.
It's cool that you can shoot a 3, you 7 feet tall, and the arc goes over the basket and in it and looks good. But that ain't.
That's one side of the floor.
That's one side.
And Embiid plays both, and so does Giannis. Jokic doesn't. Yeah. And Key, ultimately, that's why I also don't have Jokic as high as some because he's not a good defensive player. The defensive metrics are just not up to speed with the offensive metrics. They do not capture actual value. He is not a good defensive player. And if you just
neither
watch the
James
games,
Harden.
You know that. Right. But here's what's interesting to me.
There are examples of great defensive players who win MVPs.
But James Harden.
He was prolific offensively.
Prolific offensively, and it just looked different, In moments though, he did make a few defensive plays that to me caught my eyes. A few.
So there's also this. People will sometimes react out of basic fairness, right? Not by the letter of the law, basic fairness. There's this unwritten thing in the NBA where one guy doesn't get to win the MVP every year. Because Jordan deserved 10 of them. LeBron probably deserved 8 of them. But they like to spread it around. Giannis won 2 in a row. They were done giving it to Giannis. He won 2. Next. Jokic won two in a row. You're supposed to be done giving it to Jokic, right? Now it's the next guy's turn who hasn't won. That would be Embiid. So like, he has that going for him because he hasn't won it yet, Jay. So in the Giannis Embiid thing, I kind of maybe at this moment lean toward Giannis. But in the end, basic fairness says he got two, Jokic got two, Embiid is right where they're with him. It's not representative of reality if he doesn't get any.
Hmm. And it does feel like there's extra – like, this is the year for this team, right? Like, this is the inflection point with Doc Rivers. James Harden's contract is up. You have Joel Embiid that's been, you know, throwing a lot of salt on the wound of voters from the past. Like, it feels like they are destined to potentially get – it's the momentum behind Joel Embiid as well.
888-SAY-ESPN. So we have the MVP thing going on.
Can't believe you let Max get away with that, Jay.
What?
Jordan had 10 – and a whole bunch, and LeBron probably could have won 8 instead of 10 or 12.
I'm just telling you what
he discounted LeBron by 2.
I didn't discount him. Count up the seasons where you say LeBron should have won MVP. You probably, how many does he have? 3 or 4? Probably deserves twice that number.
For sure.
Right? Jordan had 5. He deserved twice that number. I'm just saying what it is. I'm not trying to slight LeBron. I'm just counting.
Oh, people act out of basic fairness, but that doesn't mean
I got to watch you at all times, Max. Very slick.
See, he's a security guard. I didn't even take anything, right?
Hey, come here.
Stereotype that guy.
Come here.
No, slick. He caught me taking one or two things in the past, but this time I take nothing.
Hey, Kellerman, come here. Yeah. Where's your parents?
Tune into NBA action tonight as the Nuggets host the Pelicans, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 9:30 p.m. Eastern on select ESPN radio stations. Whose NBA legacy would be affected the most by winning the whole thing this season? KJM.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, you can join the conversation at 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Whose NBA legacy will be affected most by winning it all this season? KD or LeBron? Or is there someone else? How about Steph Curry? What do you think, VC Vince Carter, half man, half amazing, ESPN NBA analyst with us now? What do you think, Vince?
How you guys doing, man?
What's up, man?
Whose legacy is affected the most by winning it all this year, Vince?
I know you said KD or LeBron. I won't pick LeBron just because I think it's solidified. Mm-hmm. You know, his legacy is solidified. This is just going to add to it. I mean, you're talking about when you talk about LeBron, you're talking about the upper echelon of, you know, comparing him to MJ and Kobe. I'm not leaving Kobe out of that situation, but I think KD. We just think about KD as far as needing one on his own. You know, I think he's that good of a player. I think he's that good of a player where, you know, he needs to get this because he's deserves to be in that echelon of players. Not that quite that tier, but he needs to be up there in that tier that you like
to break into that conversation, you know, right?
I really believe that.
Or when you look at him, you say he belongs there.
Yeah, I mean, and he's not short of confidence when he's talking about it himself. So, you know, sometimes when you throw it out there like that, you got to go get it. So I think this would be huge for him.
BC, I got one for you where it will change the legacy of him overall. And I think sometimes people that have played the game understand how difficult it is for everything to culminate to win a championship. Now, this player last night had 36-10 in a game without their two primary stars, right? No, not even Giannis. Without their two primary stars, he's the first player to have 36-10 with five different franchises, right? And I truly believe if the Clippers found a way to win a chip and Russell Westbrook found a way to win an NBA championship, I think people will ultimately look at Russell Westbrook differently. Do you agree or do you not agree?
No doubt.
Now, are you talking about in general? Yes, I agree with that. Are you talking about this year? I don't know. I mean, they can turn it on.
I'm not talking about their odds. And you're right. Winning, anything can happen. If they were to win, and Russ plays.
In general, no, I agree with you. 100%.
Totally.
100%. And it's, you know, and I still think people are going to turn their nose up just because, you know, we don't believe it. But at the same time, you look at and you listen to that stat you said, like, Russ gets it done, man. Regardless of how you look at it, man, the dude plays hard, man. You got to respect that.
Vince, he's
all about the game of basketball.
Vince, if he gets it, people, because as the details fade through the years, right, when they look back, they're going to say, wait, he averaged a triple-double for three consecutive seasons and got a chip? That dude has – that's a great call. And we talked about this a couple months ago. That dude has so much to gain from a chip.
Yes, 100%. And I think that's – like I said, you just – He could have a lot to say back, and it could start off, what do you have to say now? That when he does, and if he's able to do that, that's the first thing he should say. What do you got to say now? Triple doubles year after year. Now I got a championship. What else I can't do or I haven't done? You know. So yeah, I agree with that. I like that.
VC, Lakers went on a tear against Chicago yesterday. Mm-hmm. What do they need to do to finish this deal to make a strong push in the playoffs?
Win. I mean, it sounds crazy, but they need to win. And I truly believe Anthony Davis must get 15 to 20 shots a night, period. You do have LeBron James. I get it. But save LeBron. You know, I think LeBron had 19 shots, but Anthony Davis can't play another game this season with 8 shot attempts and 6 free throws. More so 8 shot attempts. The free throws will take care of itself, particularly when you're in rhythm feeling good. But when he's aggressive, when the plays are calling for him, he understands, hey, give me the ball. Give me the damn ball. Let me go to work. And it opens everything up from there. So I think the Lakers must win, but it must go back to what they were trying to accomplish earlier in the season, which everybody was saying, in my opinion, Anthony Davis must be the go-to guy first. Because LeBron can score what he wants to, but you need to empower Anthony Davis to be that guy, and you need to get him back to top 5 player in the league mentality. And I think, you know, you look at that stat line, his stat line, 13 for 20, 11 for 14 from the free throw line, 38 points, 10 rebounds. Like, that's how the Lakers going to win. It's not seeing LeBron with those numbers, having to log those minutes and those shot attempts, having to put this team on his back at his age. Yes, it's miraculous what he's doing, LeBron, that is. But, no, it's time for Anthony Davis to be that guy.
See, I was talking to Max, and we were talking about how styles makes fights, right? It's old boxing terminology that they use. And the Lakers right now are the 8th seed, right? Minnesota is a half a game up on them for the 7th seed. What do you think, if you're Darvin Ham or if you're LeBron James as the Lakers, what is a better matchup for you in the first round? Which one would you rather have? As an 8th seed, if you get the 8th seed, you're locking in the Denver Nuggets. As a 7th seed, you would have the Memphis Grizzlies. Which ones would you want?
Whoa. Matchups do matter. I think they can give either one of them a run and feel like they can win. They've had success. The Lakers have had success before. Remember what they did with Denver in the playoffs, in the bubble. What would Denver be in the playoffs?
So Denver's you know? The one seed. Yeah, yeah. What, I mean, that's a question. Yeah, exactly.
No, I'm saying, like, what will there be? Like, I'm talking about in general, because we've seen them be a very good team in regular season and don't play so well in the playoffs. And I think that's an opportunity for the Lakers. You know, that's an opportunity for the Lakers. The Memphis Grizzlies, I think that would be a good one for them. I honestly think either one of those matchups are a good matchup for the Lakers.
You see, I much rather have Memphis than I would Denver. And I get the question around Denver in the postseason. When I watch Memphis, Vince, there are times in their half court, I really question their efficiency. And what I saw last night.
Oh, I agree.
And how they were able to blitz Zach LaVine, how they were able to blitz DeMar DeRozan, get the ball out of their hands with the size and the length they have on the perimeter when the Lakers are fully healthy. Like, I would favor the Lakers in that matchup against Memphis in round one.
But it goes back to what I said, Jay. I just feel like either one of those matchups for the Lakers is a good situation for them. You know, obviously they have to solidify their spot, but you know, they have the experience. They've been there, and that's the one thing about the Grizzlies that is of question. Also, is this, you know, consistency, and can they put it together when it counts? So, you know, there you go.
We're looking at the shortest odds to win the Western Conference right now on ESPNU, and the Suns got the shortest odds. And Vince, we were talking about this on this just in the other day. You know, what that would mean legacy-wise for KD. We've been debating who would have the greatest effect, like who's winning the chip would have the greatest effect on their legacy, you know, all day. But another team that has not worked out so well is the Dallas Mavericks with Kyrie and Luka, and you know, hadn't looked right.
And it's weird to see they have more success when they only have one of those guys playing and not both of them. I honestly feel like they need another perimeter defender. Losing Finney Smith was huge to him. He's not a big name, not sexy to everyone, but his presence, what he brought to the team, his intangibles for what they need is missing. You know, Reggie Bullock can't guard everyone by himself. He's probably their primary defender. Their best defender, perimeter, and they usually had two. Most teams have two stars, two go-to guys that you need to stop. They don't really have that. You're asking the young kid Green to be that guy, and then they did not have a rim protector for a very long time. They weren't even playing JaVale McGee, a guy who can protect the rim. Yes, he can get in foul trouble. You know, sometimes you never know what you get, but you don't have much of a rim presence defensively. You need something. And then their next win, they played JaVale McGee, things change a little bit. Now you get more possessions on offense, which these guys are very good at, but you got to get stops first. So I think defensively is where it's, you know, you think of a couple of years ago when they tried to go after Luka. Yes, they could throw different guys to help him out or you know, put him and try to hide him defensively, but he had help behind him. And, you know, you don't have that type of situation. So I can understand why the game's not fun for Luka, because he's being picked at on the other end. You can't score 40 and not have to guard. And that's how teams are looking at it.
Vince Carter, ladies and gentlemen, ESPN VC. NBA analyst. Great to see you as always, VC.
Yes, sir.
All right, VC.
All right,
bit. Yes, sir. All right, guys.
You heard from us, now you heard from Vince, and now we want to hear from you. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Whose NBA legacy will be affected the most by winning it all this season? KJM.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet?
You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
I get Kevin Durant having a chance to win a championship. LeBron James and the Lakers are just as live now. And think about the legacy that comes in here. If they were to win, hovering around 9th, 10th all year long, what that does for LeBron, I say the impact on the playoff race, considering the Lakers with LeBron and where they were starting, I think it's more impactful than Kevin Durant.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Whose NBA legacy will be affected the most by winning it all this season? You ready for this, Key?
Yes, I'm ready.
Markeith in Illinois.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's happening?
I think it has to be Kevin Durant. I mean, he's 34 years old. You know, it didn't work out in Brooklyn. He's not getting any younger. So I'd say if he doesn't get it done by this season, it won't look good. Kawhi Leonard's in that discussion, too. He's been in L.A. for, 5 years almost, and still hasn't made anything happen. He's healthy. There's no excuse.
Yeah, the thing is, Kawhi does have the two, but I do think
– Yeah, but Kawhi got the two, and one certainly was by himself. Well, he willed Toronto, although those guys played well, it was about Kawhi.
Right. Yeah, I mean, no one does it all by themselves. Doesn't matter.
No, that's why I said he had the other guys, but it was about Kawhi. The storyline was Kawhi.
Kawhi had an opportunity when he signed with the Clippers because if you remember at that point, he had won an MVP in the finals MVP on two different franchises. So had LeBron. LeBron's in L.A., Kawhi goes to the Clippers. That is a direct challenge to LeBron. And at that moment, Kawhi had the opportunity to be the first guy with finals MVP on three different franchises. So did LeBron. He had the same opportunity, right? And the difference was Kawhi got bounced in the playoffs by this Denver, by the same team LeBron beat. And so the pressure on Kawhi was that year. I feel like at this point with the time he's missed and all this, Key, ain't no one really thinking about Kawhi winning. If he does, it's gravy, but it's not like held against him if he doesn't because that ship has sailed. Town Biz in Oakland, you're on KJM ESPN Radio.
Hey, what's up, y'all, man? Great show.
Thank you, bro.
Hey, Max, you stole some of my thunder, man, because I'm out here in Oakland, you know, at the Coliseum waiting for the A's to kick off their first World Series season since 89.
Yeah.
But I was about to roll with Steph, you know, because if he goes through KD and LBJ in the playoffs on the way to the title, I don't see it's nothing that nobody can say about Steph and the Dubs, man. That's all I got to say. But great show, man. Y'all have a good day. Do your thing, man.
They can't say nothing about Steph anyway.
No, but Key, it adds
you
to the
manufacture. You've manufactured hate in your brain if you got something to say about Steph.
But it's not about that. To me, it's about, look, Steph now has maybe broken into the top 10 any position ever, all time, right? Well, when you say you're laughing, but there's a lot of dudes, Key. Like, you're not putting him over LeBron or MJ or Kareem, or there's a lot of dudes.
You're talking
right?
about all them dudes is at the front
yes.
of the pile. They way in the front.
That's
of the pile.
What I. Well, hold up.
But you say maybe
top 10. Okay, keep counting. There are a lot of dudes. There's Magic. There's Bird. There's Kobe. There's a lot. There's Shaq. There's
but
Wilt.
See, I'm putting
there's
in, but
Bill
see,
Russell.
See,
there's a lot of guys.
When you start talking about Bird and stuff, like, I'm putting Steph in front of Bird. I just am.
I mean, Bird got to the league, set it on fire. Didn't need to play.
Steph ain't been setting on fire?
But no.
He changed the way you shoot the basketball,
no question,
man.
But in the biggest – look, Larry Bird was perceived by his contemporaries as, when all was said and done, the best player in the league a lot of years. Steph, at the end of the season, people looked at LeBron. People looked at this. Last year was really the first time. I'm not talking about regular season. I mean, when it's all over, who's the best player in the world? Last year was the first time you could really look at Steph and say, maybe it's him. So
I don't know that to be true.
Really? You thought that when he won unanimous MVP and LeBron got him in the finals? You thought he was better than LeBron?
Just because he got hurt too, though. You don't know how that final
was. Did you think he was better than LeBron?
He got the MVP.
Did you think who was the best basketball player in the world in 2016?
He got the MVP though, Max.
I'm
for a reason.
You.
Everybody voted him. It wasn't no one person.
It's a regular season award.
You just asked me, did I think he was the best player? He wasn't the best player in the finals.
Right, but overall,
he was the best player because he got the award.
Because he won the regular season award, therefore that makes him the best player in the world to you?
Yes, he won the award. Nobody else won it.
Key, you're trying to abdicate responsibility for your own opinion by saying he won the regular season award.
No, I'm not. You're calling it a regular season award. I'm calling it an MVP.
Who does Keyshawn Johnson think?
Steph was that year.
Get out of town. Rob in South Carolina, you're on KJM ESPN Radio.
Hey, good morning, fellas. Hey, I got a two-part question. First part, do you think Embiid or Giannis will ever leave their teams, their current teams, and try to win a championship with another team? And second part of that question is, will the Knicks ever get a bona fide superstar on their team in my lifetime?
What was the first part of the question?
Would Giannis and Giannis's what did he say? Embiid? I know he said Giannis. I think he said Giannis and Embiid. Would they ever leave their team
to go to another team?
Question, yeah. I mean, you never know because Giannis is playing well. They're winning. They're going to be in a hunt for another championship. He's already got one. He's got MVPs. I see him as a long-term stay. Embiid is a different question because he's trying to chase the MVP. He's trying to chase a championship. And at some point, if that doesn't happen, I'm sure he's going to be like, yo, I got to get up out of here.
Here's the thing about the Knicks.
Since
I was a little kid, Key, the Knicks are getting this guy and that guy. The Knicks never get anybody. They got Carmelo Anthony once, and they overpaid because Dolan wouldn't let Donnie Walsh, the GM, just do his job, right? He circumvented the GM and just gave the Nuggets everything for Carmelo, even though Carmelo had already told him he has to go to New York, right? But I'll say this, though. The Knicks, at this moment, are becoming more and more attractive, obviously, around the league because of the way they're being run. Here's what I would have to say to someone asks if they're going to land a superstar. At this moment, it looks like the answer is yes. I would say there's better than a 50-50 shot that Dolan comes out in some way with public behavior, with something he interferes with something he says that sours a potential superstar on actually signing with the Knicks. That's my prediction.
It's so funny because you said that they're running the organization this way, that way. They could potentially have the eyes of somebody. I'm like, just last year, they were talking about Leon Rose need to kick rocks and sign out.
But
it's so funny, right, Max?
Yeah, like, it is, but it worked out. They got Brunson.
9 months ago, it's like, hey, man, you got to fire this guy.
Now,
all of a sudden, give him an extension.
You know how it is. You make that one move and everyone's smiling.
New Yorkers.
Yeah, no question. That's the thing about Knicks fans. You look at Jets fans and Mets fans like that. Yankees and Giants fans, they got a little more perspective. They've won a lot. But Knicks fans got the whole city. So you mix in a lot of that Mets-Jets stuff and, oh, my God, the sky is falling. And then the next day, oh, this is the greatest thing ever.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check.
Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Noel drives in, lays it up, and it goes in at the buzzer, and Kansas State has advanced to the Elite Eight.
This thing is hard, right? It's hard to do, and so, man, when it happens, you just have to really embrace it and enjoy it and, like, take a moment, you know? We got to take a moment and just really soak this thing in before we move on to the next thing.
Sound courtesy of Westwood One NCAA Radio Network.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, are presented by Progressive Insurance and joined now by someone who's fast becoming a friend of the program. I mean, we got to have a rooting interest in this thing by now, right? Jerome Tang, Kansas State head coach, Big 12 coach of the year. Morning, coach.
Good morning. How we doing, guys?
What's up, coach? Tell me, Jerome, a little bit, coach. What's up with the little baby? What's up with playing little baby the whole time with your team?
Man, you know, this is the thing, right? Warm-ups or game preparation is never for the coaches. It's always about the players. So whatever gets them in the right mindset, the right mood, ready to go out and be the best version of themselves, I'm all about. And so, you know, I don't even know the words to the song. I didn't know the name of it till it started going crazy all over Twitter. And then my son actually asked my 22-year-old son, who's little baby? And his name is Seven, and Seven broke it down for me. And then he said, now all my friends think you're cool, and you didn't even know who little baby was.
Jerome, I want to bring you into this NBA conversation we've been having for most of the day today about legacy. And, you know, obviously basketball is a team sport, but we like to make front and center the individuals who lead those teams. So with that being said, whose legacy do you think will be affected the most by winning it all this season in the NBA?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. And, you know, I mean, that's what we all judge it on, right? Mike's the best because he's got six. And, I'm saying who needs to win one? Joel Embiid hadn't won a thing in college, high school, ever. So he needs to win one. Jokic, he's got MVPs, but he hasn't won one yet. So those guys are still seeking it, you know, and otherwise they're going to end up being Charles Barkley, which is not a bad thing because, you know, Charles is a great player and he makes a ton of money, but everybody's going to pick on him on TNT or ESPN or wherever one day because he couldn't win a championship.
Well, Coach, I got one for you. Who do you think needs this one more? Because Max and Key and I, we all kind of got into an argument about this maybe a couple of months ago. CP3 or Russell Westbrook?
Mm.
Like, perception is reality, right? Does it change your perception
of Russell Westbrook?
Looking
at CP3's already ahead,
Hall of Famer, but, like, which one do you think it changes the legacy outlook for more?
Well, you know, CP's clock is ticking, right? So,
man, it doesn't tick.
It changes his. I don't know if winning a championship changes what Russell Westbrook. He happens to be one of those Hall of Fame, unbelievable talents who people just don't appreciate.
But I don't know if winning changes that. Coach, think about it. Like, I think you just made the case for Westbrook. CP3, the way he plays the game, the way people feel about him, he's like the perfect point guard. He got all that already. And people feel bad for him. He's been hurt in the finals, and he just hasn't. But Westbrook, a lot of people look at him and say, that's not a winning player. Yeah, he averaged a triple-double for three consecutive seasons, but, man, he's a nut, right? If he wins a championship, as the details fade and contemporary audiences get older and other people look up the record books and go, he averaged a triple-double for three seasons and chipped up, doesn't that help him more?
You know what? It should. But you know what most people are going to say? That the Clippers won a championship in spite of Russell Westbrook. And so Kawhi Leonard's going to get all the credit, and a healthy Paul George will get the credit.
Yep, you're right, Coach. He's the third. He's the third wheel. Chris Paul, as a basketball player, as a what you call him, Jay, a point guard and the whole deal, he's got all that. Yes, we want him to win a championship. Everybody does, because he's meant so much to the game. And if he was to get this championship, regardless if it's Kevin Durant that's leading him or Book that's leading him, the camera's panning into CP3. The camera wants him to squeeze the tears out for the money shot, because it's just whatever it is, that's what it's going to be.
Jerome, I did want to ask you, so after your loss, it was a tough loss, and I've seen Coach K do this too, which is, it doesn't happen all the time. What compelled you to go into that FAU locker room and congratulate them on how well they played?
You know, we talk about love and joy and freedom in our program a lot, and, you know, everybody, it's real easy for you to do that, you know, when you win. But if it's really in your DNA, then in the most adverse times, you got to be able to summon that strength inside of you. I remember Coach K doing it. I remember after we beat Baylor at Baylor, the first game, Scott Drew came on our team bus and told, you know, talked to our team and gave him some really encouraging words. And so the examples that those guys set for me, and then just the, you know, the spirit that's inside of me that said, man, you got to go look these guys in the eyes and let them know they were the better team tonight and they could win the whole thing. And so, you know, I just had to do it. It was inside of me to do.
I mean, we've had Dusty May on this show, the head coach of FAU. We've you know, seen, obviously, Brian Dutcher over at San Diego State. The fact that one of these two teams are going to be playing for a national championship, Jerome, what state is college basketball in that we have FAU and San Diego State in the Final Four? What does that say about college basketball overall to you?
That it is in a great state. Like, I mean, that is so incredible for college basketball. It shows that, you know, the ball doesn't have respect to the name on the front of the chest, but it's the heart that's beating inside of the bodies inside those uniforms. Those young men work as hard. They do the same strength and conditioning and spend time in the gym. And that when you, if you can get like minds and like hearts together and you step on that floor for 40 minutes, that anything can happen. And those guys were the better team those nights, right? It wasn't like they lucked up and hit 50 half court shots. You know what I'm talking? They were the better team. And so they deserved to win. And so all across college basketball right now, there are college coaches who are telling their guys that, hey, man, if you stick around, if you work hard, if we stay together, we could be in that same spot. So it's wonderful for college basketball.
Jerome Tang, ladies and gentlemen, Kansas State head coach, friend of the show. Best of luck, Coach.
All right, Jerome. Congrats on all the success this year.
Hey fellas, thanks a lot. Enjoy being on. Love your show, and keep up the great work.
All right. You as well. Big game. Bucks and Celtics tonight, guys. Are we sure? Are we sure? Key has him in the top tier. Jay says, nope. Are we sure Jason Tatum is the best player on the Boston Celtics? Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max. That answer to that earth-shattering answer to that provocative question. Coming up. KJ.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.